Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, Pastor Billy teaches on the omnipotent, piercing light of God with this teaching titled, His Piercing Light Will Rescue You. We trust that this message will be a source of strength, encouragement, and healing in your life. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Hi, this is Pastor Billy Burke. I want to talk to you about the piercing light of the Holy Spirit, that piercing light that comes out of heaven that has everything on it, including your name, of how God wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you out of something, get you through something, and take you into something. God never brings you out of anything just to bring you out. He brings you out. He rescues you from something to take you into something greater than what he brought you out of. Now, in the Bible, there's an amazing, so much information about light itself. There's a light that shined from heaven in Acts chapter 9 on Saul's trip to Damascus. He's on the road to Damascus. This was before his conversion. And the Bible says a light shined out of heaven, knocked him off his horse, and he actually saw a physical, tangible light from heaven, a real light on the outside, shining on him so much that it blinded him. But the Bible also speaks about light in a greater terminology of light being an illumination on the inside of you. In other words, it said that Jesus is the light of the world. What didn't mean that he was casting a natural light. It means it was a light turned on the inside of man's soul that would illuminate him about the things of God, the plans of God, the direction of God. And where we see this so perfectly illustrated is in the first chapter of Genesis in the creation story. It says in chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Now, the interesting thing about this is the Hebrew word there for the word light has a dual meaning. It doesn't mean inside light, illumination, nor does it mean outside light, like a light coming from the outside. It actually carries a Hebraic dual meaning. It means it can mean both. So when God said, let there be light in verse 3, he didn't put any moon, sun, stars in the sky until the fourth day. This was only the first day. So we have to believe that in this verse, number 3, when he said, let there be light, he was talking about he was birthing the consciousness of God into the earth, into every plant, into every animal, into the water, into the sky, into the firmaments, into everything living. God put his consciousness into the earth. That's why the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it. So water and plants and animals, I mean, every leaf and every petal and every flower, every bumblebee, every shark, every animal that ever did and does exist knows the voice of its creator, because it was created by voice, by God's voice, let there be. And in the consciousness of animals, in the consciousness of creation, is God himself. This is a light that's turned on the inside of you. It's on the inside of me. And this light is meant to illuminate us. It's meant to shine on a path that we're supposed to be on. It's meant to, you know, show us how to avoid some of the traps and landmines that life offers in so many ways, you know, that we don't find out till later. But most of all, it shows us how to go deeper with God, how to build a better, stronger relationship in spite of our human frailty, in spite of all of the weaknesses that we have. God said, I have a light that will rescue you from yourself. I have a light that will rescue you from your sin, from your circumstances. I have a light that will pull you out of the deepest, darkest place, whether it's a physical place that you're in or whether it's a spiritual place that you're in. And I can bring you out of that. I can cleanse you. And then I can begin to shine the light on all that I've promised you, all the good things I have in store for you. Because until we see it on the inside, we'll never really see it on the outside. You have to see something on the inside. And that comes from the light, from the illumination of God shining on the inside of you. God wants you to go deeper. God wants us all to go deeper. And for that to happen, there has to be this piercing light from heaven which comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, to shine in such a way where we see it. You know, where we see, you've heard people say, my eyes were opened, I was awakened, I finally saw the light. That's the famous phrase, I finally saw the light. People don't even realize what they're saying because none of us are that smart. Anything that comes from above that's good is from God Himself. Now, in this shining this light, God wants to shine the light, you know, on anything in anybody's life that would be a bondage to sin, sinful living, sinful lifestyles that we don't think are that bad. Well, how could you not think that something is bad? Well, it's the way you're brought up. It's the way a lot of people are raised. It could be culture itself. Culture says a lot of things are okay. You know, we have laws that are being passed that legislate things that are contrary to the written word of God. So culture says, our courts say, it's okay. It's legal to do this. It may not be moral, but it's legal. And so there comes that battle between legal and between moral. What determines morality? You can't legislate morality. Morality comes from a light that's on the inside of you that shines and says yes or no. Or it's a light that isn't there. And when the light isn't there, what's the Bible say? Then people walk in darkness. Darkness means a level of ignorance. It means a place where you don't know. And where you don't know, all it takes is some loud voice that says, this is the way. That loud voice may come out of, again, just experience. That loud voice may come out of personal ambition, personal opinion. But see, when we read the Bible, all of our personal opinions has to bend a knee. You know, our thoughts, our experiences, as true as they may be or as real as they may be for you, factual is a better word. Whenever you read the Bible, it's supposed to be the final authority. You experience this, but God's word says that. This is what you went through, and this is what you saw in your experience. This is what God's word says. It never changes. Your circumstances are always changing, but the word of God never changes. That's why it's called the rock of our salvation. That's why it's called the anchor for our soul. God doesn't want you drifting. God doesn't want you just, you know, making up your own philosophy and saying, this is what I think. This is what I think. That's what philosophers do. No, we have a written word handed down by holy men of old. The Bible's not a book. It's a collection of 66 books. And the miracle of the Bible is all these 66 books of many different authors all testify to the same thing, that God is God, that He created heaven and earth, that He formed man out of the dust of the earth and the woman out of the rib of a man. And they had an eternal plan of the ages for each of us to be a part of, and so on and so on. And what we need to do is understand that until we come into the light, we walk in darkness. And that darkness could be, listen to me, and I'm going to give you a couple different examples. Listen to me, partner, this is so important. If you can grab a hold of this, you can avoid a lifetime of heartache. You can pass something down to your children and your grandchildren that they'll be forever grateful for. Because everything that you need to know isn't learned in a college or a university or a laboratory. You know, sometimes things that are learned the most, you know, is learned right in the trenches of life whenever you need to meet God on a personal basis. Most people don't want to meet God till they're in a crisis. You know, and you could be in a crisis right now as I'm speaking to you. Or you could be in a place of training where you're learning how to help people that are in a crisis. Whichever you are, listen to me, there is a light that pierces every form and shape of darkness that will rescue anybody. Anybody. They'll rescue a person that's not saved, that is saved, that's backslidden, that should know better, because His mercy endureth forever, and His mercies are new every morning. But be careful, God will not be mocked. You know, God, His Spirit will not always strive with a man, what the Scriptures say. So this light, when it does shine, when it shines in your direction, it's God's way of saying, come on, get a hold of this. It's time to get through this. Here's some information you didn't have before, I'm telling you. Our job is to recognize is that maybe, possibly, what we're doing is we're living in something that's contrary to the Word of God that's reaping, that's causing a reaping of bad stuff. You know, I mean, you can't just continue to run red lights and not get stopped by the police. That's the reason that the police stops you, is because you're breaking a law somewhere. And sometimes whenever you just live any way you want, think anything you want, talk any way you want, and there's no checkpoints, there's no checking in with the God from above, or the, if you're born again, the God from within. When you're born again, the God from within is connected to the God in the third heaven, which is where God lives, in the third heaven. And that's very important to know that, because, boy, whenever you have God from in the third heaven working with the God on the inside of you, which is by way of the Holy Spirit, then you have this wonderful union of God working for you from both above and from below. Why? To make sure once again that you follow the plan that He has for you, that you don't frustrate the grace of God, that you have what you're supposed to have, that you do what you're supposed to do, and that you become the person that you're supposed to become in the course of your natural years. Heaven is destination. Living here on life is destiny on earth. That's destiny. Destiny is this side of eternity. It's all that God wants you to have is your destiny. Who He wants you to be is your destiny. What He wants you to do is your destiny. Heaven is your destination. Always separate those two. But for us to see that, for us to hear that, for us to grasp that, something has to happen where we see things differently than what we do. And if we're not careful, our vision, our eyesight, our spiritual sight will be shaped by the media, by culture, by professors in universities, by our experiences. And when that happens, we begin to get the wrong interpretation of life, the wrong interpretation of God's plan. God has a light right now that wants to rescue you in an amazing way. But He wants to shine on the inside of you and say, hey, He can tell you that something you're doing, participating in, is wrong, unlike what anybody else can do. We so often resist information that comes from parents and from teachers and from friends because we say to them, you don't understand. But God has a way of communicating with you from that light that He rescued you with on the inside of you. Because I said, let me say it again, until you see it on the inside that maybe what you're engaging in is wrong, detrimental, life-threatening. It could be threatening to your whole future. Right now, you could be making decisions that are contrary to the plan that God has. And you're going to bring harm and hurt and reap the whirlwind. Well, you don't want to do that. Well, how are you going to find out that that's wrong? We need God to shine that light on each of us. When that light hit Saul on the outside and then went on the inside, you know, that was one of those situations where it went on the outside, but that it connected to his inside. It was to show him, you're doing things the wrong way. You're going on a wrong direction. Hey, it happens to everybody. Our compass gets broke. We don't know where we are. We're hurt. The divorce happens. Death happens. Life happens. And sometimes we begin to give an ear to the wrong people. You know, and sometimes the first person that shows up isn't the right person. You know, the first bird that Noah released from the ark was the raven, you know, the scavenger, the bird that never came back. He didn't release the dove right away. It's not always the first person that shows up is the right person. And sometimes the enemy just knows that, you know, whenever you're most vulnerable, whenever you've been wounded, whenever you've been discouraged, whenever you've been disappointed. And people show up and they give their opinions. They give their ideas. You know what people say basically with that? Follow me. Well, look at them. You know, do you want to follow that? Where are they headed? And sometimes, you know, they have people can do such a good job of disguising the real depth of their happiness. So many people today is the case of the blind leading the blind. You want to be led by a leader who's never known one defeat. That's right. He's never known one defeat. At Calvary, He laid His life down. He gave His life. They didn't take His life. He gave it. And I'm saying to you today that this light that wants to rescue you, my friend, it's so available right now. It's penetrating this CD. It's coming right through into your mind right now, breaking down strongholds and thoughts and patterns that you're trapped, you're stuck, you can't get out. You can, and you can get through this. And you can be and do what God wants you to do. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 95. As long as you got the breath of life inside your body, then His purposes can yet still be fulfilled. But just maybe you've been chewing on the wrong bone. Just maybe you've been drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. And now it's time that you say, I got to drink some new wine. I got to get the milk and the honey of the promised land. I've got to get turned around here while there's still time for me to do, be, and have what God has for me. Oh, God, shine that light. Let me know if there's something in me that's immoral, something in me that I'm holding on to, something I'm engaged in that I've been excusing. So many people excuse behavior because of why I got hurt. Well, you don't understand. And they use something that's happened to them to excuse a lifestyle that they've currently entered in. God feels for all of us. He knows the pain and the hurt that can come from rejection, from divorce, from sexual abuse, from molestation, from losing all your money, from anything you want to name. Trust me, God knows the devastation, the fracture that takes place inside of a person. But that doesn't give any person the right to use that and go deeper into darkness and call it good, call it right, and say, well, you have to understand, I'm hurt. Yeah, you're hurt, but your hurt can take you to hell. God wants to heal your hurt and take you to heaven. But in the meantime, he wants to heal you and cause you to have a wonderful, amazing life right here. It can happen. Listen to me. It can happen. Some of you right now are hearing my voice, and you know that what you've been through is just nothing short than catastrophic. And probably nobody with flesh on can fully comprehend or understand the scope of your pain or what you've been through. But God's arm is not too short that it can't save, and his ear's not too deaf that it can't hear. He's after you. His light is chasing you right now to pierce into your situation and to let you know that what you're embracing isn't correct. You know, and it could be that you know it already, but you're just stubborn. It could be that you know it already, and you just don't know how to leave go of it. But that's why his light comes. It comes to break the hold. It comes to reveal to you, this is wrong. Get out of this. Get out of that relationship. You know it's wrong. His light has shined on it, and other people have confirmed it to you. Don't let your body or your senses get addicted to something that's wrong at the moment. Get out of it as quick as you can. As you delay, it only gets harder and harder. Roots grow into it. Then everything has to be uprooted. Then there's got to be a process that you go through of deliverance and healing. And it just takes chunks of time out of your life that are valuable. You don't want to look back when you're older and say, why did it take me so long to see the light? Which is the regret of so, so many. Oh, my. He wants to really shine the light on how to get through a particular challenge. So many people, you know, you're involved in something right now. It could be a lawsuit. It could be an audit from the IRS. It could be something with your children. It could be something with your house or your car or your job, or it could be something with your health. And how do I get through this rough season? How do I? And so often we fall prey once again to just people that want to give counsel. That's why Psalm 1 says, happy are the people that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the way of the seat of the scornful. You just got to be careful where you draw your advice from. So many, you get on the internet and there's so many ways, how to get out of this and how to get through that, and here's what I do. Every health magazine has how to get into a better mood and how to relieve stress, and none of them that I've ever looked at ever mention, you know, the name of Jesus. They never, most of them never mention, you know, a Bible verse, something that Jesus said. People regurgitate homemade human philosophy, and they pass down what they've heard from generation. They pass down what don't work. You say, but why does this end up in a magazine? I don't know. They may know the owner of the magazine. They may have contacts. They may have money. Money can get you into any magazine that you want. But you have a Bible in front of you there. You know, you stay in the red letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are inspirational letters God breathed himself through holy men of old. Or get around people that have the Word of God in them, have some experience of walking with God, that carry the wisdom of God, the fire of God, the love of God. Any one of these have the ability to revelate to you, you know, to illuminate, to open up something, to let you see, this is what I need to get, how to get through this. And there's so many people, they just go by what the doctor says. They just go by what their parents say. No malice involved in that. But is there truth? You want right from the Holy Spirit. And he can show you how to get through this, how to get out of debt. Anything that you have a need and a cry and a hunger for. But that it takes effort. You have to flip a switch. The light just don't come on. But there's something that you have to really do. You've got to do something. If it's the way you're talking, if it's a habit of smoking, if it's the habit of drugs, if it's the habit of cursing, if it's the habit of something in your diet, if you have a habit of making all your choices without any prayer, these are habits that turn into curses, and curses become patterns. That's what a curse is. It's a regular pattern of something. Whenever you can't break a pattern, you know, whenever you can't stop doing something, we all have patterns, but if you can't stop it, it's a curse. Why? Because you can't stop it. And that's exactly what a curse is. It's controlled by another power, another entity. Where did that curse come from? It came from a developing of a pattern. And that's why we got to be very, very sensitive as to what we're doing on a regular basis that continues to keep us in the bear trap. Let's get out of the bear trap. Let's throw the trap away. Let's break the trap so nobody else falls into the trap. Our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, people that are close to our friends in our church. Let's break the trap so they can't get into that trap as well. But all of these habits, oh my. And people don't even realize it, that they're negative, that they're snaring themselves with their words. They have word curses that are functioning in their life. They don't understand that what the taste that they're addicted to isn't nutritious. They love the taste of something. But whenever they swallow that, the organs are screaming, get this out of here. It's affecting your liver, your stomach, your colon, your lungs. Is to get you addicted to a taste. Because then when you're addicted to that taste, that's where the money starts flying out of your pocket. That's what makes companies stay in business. They don't care about your health. They care about your money. You want God to shine the light on anything that is detrimental to your health, your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, your spiritual health. Things right now that you don't see. How do we can't see everything at once. So God over time begins to illuminate. God over time begins to let us see things that we couldn't quite see before. And as he illuminates, it's so valuable that we see the light. Jesus said to his disciples when they were early in their maturation process, he said, there's many, many things I would want to say to you, but right now you can't handle them. So in other words, we see that the light that God gives is often connected to a progressive journey. There's a lot of things that aren't revealed to us at the moment, and God wants to wait to a later time for us to see things maybe as we should, as he sees them. That's why you say, well, you can't blame yourself because I should have seen that. Well, you didn't, and you couldn't have because God had you slated for another time. Now, that's not saying that if you're listening to this, you can't accelerate and get ahead of the curve. Of course you can. Your hunger and your thirst can take you as high and as far as you want to go. But for people out there that are working, raising children, focusing on life and bills and everything else, this is a different culture, different time. Time is precious. It's the most highest commodity on planet Earth and it's the highest commodity in your life. And that's why Paul said, redeem the time because the days are evil and it's getting darker by the day. But God wants you to know that, you know, he is in the plan right now of revealing. The trouble is when we do see it, we often ignore it. You know, we don't pay attention to it. Because of that, we often just continue to be in the dark about that particular situation. Just take like your diet, for instance. There's so many people that are eating their way into heaven early, eating their way into a disease. So many people don't want to hear about it. You know, somebody comes on television and shares an interesting piece of information that can help them. I'm blocking that. So many people block the light. You know, just like when you hold your hand up, you can block the sun. Imagine that. The whole sun can be blocked by the palm of your hand. Boy, is that an amazing thought. I'm going to say that again. The sun that warms the earth can be blocked with the palm of your hand. What's that mean? It means no matter how big the light is that God's shining into you, you can block it. I don't want to hear that. I'm not open to that. And so often it isn't because God hasn't tried to shine the light into you to rescue you. It's that you've not been ready. You've blocked it. It hasn't gotten bad enough yet. It hasn't gotten dark enough yet. Or just maybe you haven't realized that everything you're attempting to do cannot produce the results that you need. So God waits. He's patient. He waits. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. He loves us. And so he knows that for sometimes it takes us a longer time to see that we need to be born again, that we can't get healthy by ourselves, that we need to get healed by his stripes, that we have to get out of where we are by faith and not just by hapstance. We have to use the name, the blood. We have to begin to call on him and need God. We have to let him into our life in a deeper way, in a deeper place. Sometimes the deepest place that people have for God is church. You know, church is not the deepest thing on the planet. It's the Holy Spirit working in you is the deepest thing. Obeying him, listening to him. God wants you out of where you are to get you through it sooner than you do. That cannot be. Oh, it is. He's shining a light right now, you know, by way of my voice coming into your life. He is accelerating healing. He's accelerating deliverance. He's accelerating prophetic destiny. But you have to be open to that. You know, I mean, Psalm 119 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means every word you read out of God's word turns a light on the inside of you. It turns a light on about your marriage. You know, but you don't know, my marriage is, well, what's God's word say? It turns a light on about your finances. I can't seem to get any money. I don't make enough. Well, what's God's word say? Are you tithing? Are you giving alms? Are you giving first fruits? See, we read the word of God, but we don't really connect the fact that it is the light unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's one of the ways that God pierces us with light. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with Jesus, fellowshipping with believers that carry light is another way that light can pierce into your darkness. You know, you got to put yourself in the line of fire. I mean, you've got to talk to God. You've got to say, Jesus, here I am. I mean, once a day, twice a day, Holy Spirit, help me. You've got to quit hanging around toxic people that are negative, that never talk about God. It's always their problems, or they're very narcissistic and they talk about themselves. Those people you can tolerate, but you got to get around people that carry the life, the love, and the light of God. You know, yeah, they talk about themselves, but it's not in the same way. They're thankful. They're talking about things that God's doing in their life and prayers they're praying, promises they're standing on, prophecies they're believing for. You know, they've made their life, you know, they've made their life a lifestyle. Oh, I love that. They've made their life a lifestyle. They've changed. They're not trapped by culture. They're trapped by a creator. His name is Jesus. His name is the Holy Spirit. And when you get around people that are like that, you just can't but help without them even saying anything. It's just almost a seamless, accidentally on purpose type of thing. And they say things, you feel things around them, and boom, a light comes on. You walk away from them, and you got the impression, where'd that come from? The light that's in them shined on you. They never told you about, you know, a confession and being careful what you say. But somehow when you walked away from them, the spirit in them jumped on you, convicted you, revealed to you, and without anybody instructing or trying to come into the privacy of your life because you were around the right people, a light was turned on. Hey, I got to clean up my speech. I got to get more positive. You know, I got to change my diet. I'm not drinking enough water. I'm drinking things that's just killing me. I got to quit this smoking. You know, and nobody ever said anything to you. What happened? You were around people that carried the light of God. That's why the Bible calls us the children of light. We are no longer the children of darkness. We've been enlightened. We just don't know that Jesus is the way to heaven. We also know that his word and his will is the way to a fulfilled, successful life. But that comes by fellowship. It comes by being around people that have have walked with him, that experienced him, that love him. I know sometimes it's hard to hang around people like that because it reveals how far you have to go, what you don't know. That you should never let that make you feel bad, because they too once were, they are where they were, where you are. And they didn't stay where you are. They chose to go fast forward. They chose to pass go and collect $200 and stay out of jail. They chose to stay in the game. They chose to get the Boardwalk, the Park Place, the railroads, and put houses on them. Listen to me. That's what God has for you, is exponential growth, expansion, increase. Yeah, but I don't know how. I'm having the hardest time. It's because you're not open to understanding that you have to subject yourself to the Lord himself. It's a personal relationship. Holy Spirit, I'm with you today. Talk to me. Dear Jesus, I love you today. Talk to me. Word of God, you're a lamp under my feet. I'm reading you. Talk to me. Getting around people that you respect because they do have a deep walk with God. And let God impart something into you from them, spirit to spirit. It's amazing how that happens. You know, the Holy Spirit has the power to quicken anything. I was sitting in a restaurant with a pastor friend of mine a couple years ago in Miami, down in the South Beach area. We were having crab legs for lunch, and they brought a huge tray of crab legs to the table. I mean, it was piled up probably a foot high. And I felt, as I saw these big crab claws on there, I thought to myself, oh, I feel bad for these crabs. Oh, my gosh, I'm hungry for crab claws, but I just feel bad that these claws are from little crabs or big crabs who gave their life that I might have a good lunch. And here I said, as I picked up a crab claw, I said, boy, I feel bad for this crab claw. And the pastor that was with me, he said, why do you feel bad? I said, well, he gave up his claw for me. He said, well, the way they crab, Billy, is that down here in Miami, when they catch a crab, or a lobster, I believe it is, lobster claws, when they catch a lobster claw, crab claw, they tear off one leg, and they throw the lobster or the crab back in the sea with only one leg. I said, well, why would they do such a cruel thing like that? He said, because the leg they tear off, they bring to the market. The one-legged crab in the ocean will grow another leg. I said, what? He said, it'll grow another leg. I said, what do you mean it'll grow another leg? They said, that's what crabs do. That's what lobsters do. They grow another leg. That's the way God made them. Well, right away, a light clicked on inside of me. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't in church. But when he said that, I thought, well, if God can cause an animal to grow a limb, aren't we a higher creation than the animals? Why don't we see more limbs growing out of people that need limbs? Oh, Lord. I mean, it was just that simple. A light came on the inside. Why? Because I heard something that shined into a dark cavity in my life, and it was turned on. You can't be ever too old to learn. One of my friends, a great Bible teacher, told me, he said, Billy, I'm a full-time learner. He's in his 70s. He writes books on wisdom that travel all over the world. I'm a full-time learner. See, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're ever learning the Holy Spirit that's speaking to us, just to our heart, using a circumstance like that. He can show you how to get out of debt faster than a professional can. He wants to shine the light. He wants to rescue you. He doesn't want you to be trapped days and months and years with debt, with disease, with emptiness. He doesn't want that for you. That's not why he saved you. He saved you to increase your value, your worth. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm talking to you today about a light. This verse, John chapter 1, verse number 5, says it as good as I can say it to you. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare it unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7, but if we walk in that light, as he is in that light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We see here that light has no darkness in it, the light of God. No darkness, no depression, that means. No indebtedness, no disease, nothing negative. Isn't that amazing? The light of God pierces dark areas, pierces it. That's why dentists use lights. On the operating tables, they use lights. That's why airplanes and jets that are landing need lights, and satellites need lights, and space shuttles need lights. Why does everybody need all these lights? And that's why you have flashlights. And it's because it shines into the dark, it exposes the dark, and it makes it possible for you to walk, to see something, to grasp something. God has that kind of light, only it's a supernatural light from another dimension. He said it, let there be light. Let there be an inner illumination. See, you can, your parents can tell you something and you never get it till later on, and then a light turns on. That's what Dad meant. That's what Mom was trying to say. That's what Pastor so-and-so, that's what my school teacher meant by that. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we have the Word of God. Thank God that it's never too late. My word to you, partner, this month is God is in the process of rescuing you. Information that you need to know is already on the way to your mailbox, meaning into your mind. It's get ready. You may not recognize it. It may come through people. It may come right into your soul. It may come through somebody on the television. It may come through somebody at church. It may come through a stranger. It may come through somebody you least expect. But when you hear it, you will know it, because the Holy Spirit will say, he'll quicken it. And he'll say, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The way he quickened that pastor about the crab legs to me, he'll quicken it to you. And you'll know I'm supposed to get that vitamin. I'm supposed to read that chapter. I'm supposed to stay away from that person. I'm supposed to begin to contact my parents more than what I have been. It's just the way God has set up his wonderful kingdom. He'll shine the light on, you know, some of the stuff you're reading. You'll look at the labels on that salad dress at the grocery market and say, these are GMO. The properties have been removed. Listen to me. God wants to shine the light on how you can drop weight and take the pressure off your heart. He wants to shine the light on how you can bond deeper with your children or your grandchildren. But you got to open up. You got to quit thinking it's too late. You're too bad. Quit, get out of regret. Yeah, it should have happened years ago, but it didn't. It's not how you start in life that counts. It's how you finish. Let the light of God shine. Let the light of God shine. It says that we will have fellowship with him, and the cleansing of the blood will take place. Isn't that amazing? I pray right now for each of you, my partners, that the light of God would begin to pierce wherever darkness you may be in. How to get through this rough time in your marriage, how to lose weight, how to find the destiny that God's called you to, the ministry. How to make your business more successful than what it is. How to unlock faith in the people around you that seem to be stumbling for their healing. Whatever it may be, 1 John 1:5 and 1 John 1:7 says there is a light from heaven that pierces the darkness. Father, I pray for each of my partners and my friends, that as I'm speaking, light would pierce into their lives, into their bones, their sinew, their flesh, into their circumstances. Oh God, that you would pierce and show them a way out, a way through and a way in to the best that you have for them. There to be a lingering presence even long after they listen to the CD. And tonight, tomorrow, and the days ahead, let their eyes be opened that they may see what you're saying, how you're leading, and the plan for the days ahead. I give you praise for each one, Master, for their health, their wealth, their wisdom, and most of all for their walk with you. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.